let's go back to Christianity 101. If not even before 101. Something that's been on my heart in recent weeks. Perhaps we might even be able to say longer than weeks and include a couple of months. As my wife and I were in Turks and Caicos Islands preaching the Bottle Creek camp for the Lighthouse churches there, before we even went, I had been praying over sermons, messages, hoping to determine what God wanted before we arrived on the island. You know, it's more convenient for your nerves when you know ahead of time. It didn't exactly work that way. But one of the things, one of the messages that I thought that I would be preaching while I was there, and it just didn't happen, was a message on hell. I don't find it easy to preach on hell. For one thing, I think we can become calloused because it's so difficult for us to really wrap our mind around the horrors of that place. We'd much rather talk about God's love, and I, for one, enjoy that. We are blessed to be able to enjoy God's love. It's wonderful to be able to discuss and think about and preach about heaven. We all want to go there. And the alarming thing is today, everybody goes there. Although God in His Word indicates something that's completely different from that. This Sunday isn't the Sunday, I don't believe, to preach a hard message on hell, but it's probably in the works. Because I think we need to be reminded afresh and anew. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. God established the penalty of sin. Sin really shouldn't have found its way into the human race, but it did. God's design for mankind is that we live for Him. His desire for mankind is that we serve Him. He desires us to choose to live for Him. But sin, it did find its way into the human race. But the story doesn't stop just with that. It could stop with that. Anybody who sins could just simply be cut off and sent to hell. Now, I use the word sent not because God sends, but because of choice. A person goes. For the wages of sin is death. But God provided a means of restoration. God provided a means of reconciliation. He provided forgiveness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We celebrated that in the last couple of weeks. the gift of God on Calvary, where Jesus took the sin load, the sin payment, the sin penalty. He bore the entirety of our iniquity, of our transgression, of our sin, of our choosing to go the sinful way even. The choices of our sins placed upon Him, and He carried the iniquity of us all. Not only did He die to shed His blood so that our sins could be covered according to the Old Testament style or ceremony or law of shedding of blood, but He also, as our high priest, carried the sacraments of that sacrifice, the elements of that sacrifice, to the throne room of the Father to present Himself as that spotless lamb and the shed blood so that man could be forgiven, so that man could be reconciled to God, so that man could be restored to a rightful relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the gift of God. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Let's just let that sink in again. Oh, we've heard it a number of times. We've read it more times than we've heard. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are some startling words in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, the first part of verse number 14. Now the context may not be exactly the context of Isaiah 5:14, may not be exactly the context of our message this morning, but I believe that it adds a little bit of a leaf, a little bit of a fly note to the context, and an alarming thought for us. Isaiah pens these words, and the King James translation simply says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." I don't know what that tells you. I'm not sure what that tells me this morning, but it gives me a little bit of an indication that God really didn't intend for mankind to go to hell. He didn't intend for me or for you, any one of you, to find your place in hell. It tells me that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure would indicate to me that God has not designed it to be that way. He wants us to avoid the place of hell. David Platt, in his book, Radical. Now, the title of the book is something that would probably get attention. Radical. He said this. He said, "The message of biblical Christianity is not God loves me, period. As if it were the object, as if we were the object of our own faith. The message of biblical Christianity is God loves me so that I might make Him, His ways, His salvation, His glory, His greatness known among all the nations. God is the object of our faith. And Christianity centers around Him. We are not the end of the gospel. God is." The end of the quote there. But today we find ourselves in circumstances or in cultural changes and shifts where we are trying to make our own rules. But we can't make our own rules. We can't make our own Christianity. We can't reinvent salvation to fit our wants. We can't reinvent salvation to fit our agenda. And I know when I make this next statement that I'm speaking to people who are commonly found in the house of God, commonly reading God's word, listening to God's message preached every single service, Sunday after Sunday, revival after revival, occasionally camp meeting thrown into the mix as well. But we must also understand that we are not exempt from that possibility of reinventing our own Christianity. What I mean by reinventing our own Christianity in our context would simply be that we see the splinter in somebody else's eye, but we ignore the huge shaving in our own. Because it's easy for us to focus on somebody else rather than focusing on our own. And so instead of being convicted of sin, we've become offended by the judgment of sin. We don't want somebody else to tell us what's wrong, but we can see everybody else's faults. And we don't want to have conviction for ourselves. We become offended when somebody looks my way or our way. Christianity is all about Christ. Self-explanatory just within the confines of the word. Christianity. Christianity would indicate that it's being a disciple of Christ. It's one of His disciples. Christianity is accepting Christ's invitation to take up your cross and follow me, He said. Christianity is, simply put, losing one's life in Him. The words of Ross Minkler come to mind. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends see only Thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. Just to lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. But the problem is, Isaiah nails the problem. Not only does Isaiah nail it, others in the Old Testament indicate it as well, but Isaiah really nails it when he's talking about Christ and His provision to mankind. But he says it so very well about where we are and who we are when he said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us have turned to our own way. It was such a prevalent issue in Old Testament times and in such a reality in the time of Joshua that he calls for the entire nation of Israel to listen to him and to give heed to his words of admonition and his words of pointing to go one direction. But he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Luke records that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27, something to the effect of take up your cross and follow Him. And if you don't take up the cross and follow Jesus, you can't be called one of His disciples. Now that's the record that Luke gives of the words of Christ. Did you hear what we said, what I said? That if we don't take up, if we don't lose ourselves in the cross, if we don't follow Him, then we're not called a disciple. Then we're not called a Christian. Jesus is recorded by Matthew in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. That's not my words. That's not even Matthew's words. That's the words that have been given to him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be preserved as Scripture, to be preserved as what we understand and know to be called God's Word. Now, it just so happens that not only is it God's words to him and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to pen them, but he's also penning them as a reference, a direct quote from Jesus himself. Many go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Folks, the message this morning is simply this: that we make sure what path we're on. Not just assume it because we prayed somewhere in the past and asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Thank God that you did. Not just that we prayed somewhere along the way and God cleansed the heart and you're able to stand at some point in your life and testify to the fact that you have a holy heart, that you've been made pure, and you can stand and testify to two works of grace that we espouse and believe in. But that we make our calling and our election sure. It's just because the preacher says it at the funeral that they made it to heaven doesn't mean they made it to heaven. It's God's word that is the judgment panel. It's God that is the judge to determine, and he has indicated to us what it will take for you and for me, which is the same. I don't get any special treatment because I'm the pastor. You don't get any special treatment because of your name or where you've been or how long you've been in the church. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And the arms of Jesus Christ are wide open for us. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know that your heart is made right with God this morning? So that if and when tragedy strikes, your last breath is taken, your life testifies that you're a disciple of Christ, that you follow him. I'm going to ask my wife if she would. I didn't plan to do this, but can you play Just As I Am? I don't know if that's in there or not. If it's not, find something that may be suitable. Just As I Am, without one plea. The wages of sin is death. If you have a need this morning, preacher, we just came through revival. It's been good, wasn't it? But we're here this morning with God's Word before us, God's Holy Spirit speaking to us. Do you know? Do you know? Let's stand together with our heads bowed. You can know Jesus this morning. You can know your sins are forgiven this morning. You can be his disciple this morning. Do you need to step out and pray? Be happy to spend time praying with you. Somebody need to come and pray today. Perhaps it was just a warning for us. Perhaps that's why God was pressing it on my mind and my heart and continued to do so for this morning. Just as a reminder. But I think there's something more. There's someone more. No, you don't have to do it at this altar. But you do have to confess your sins. You do have to forsake your sins. You do have to lose yourself in Christ to be His disciple. Just as I am without one plea, I empty myself before Him. She gets to the end, we're finished. We're going to go. Do you want to pray this morning? Chad Damon, would you dismiss us in prayer?